theme for today. So before I start, I just want to wish all fathers a happy Father's Day, fathers and grandfathers. Yeah, so I mean, this is a day that I guess everyone recognizes contributions that fathers do in the lives of the children, you know, of the family. And we'd like to just thank fathers for their contributions. Yeah. So I also realize that Father's Day is an interesting day. I mean, usually it's a day whereby we take time to maybe have something special. So hopefully, maybe you all have a nice dinner tonight or something. Yeah. All right. Okay, so as we start, maybe I'd like to invite everyone to stand up as we read God's Word. Today's passage will be from Psalms chapter 78, verse 1 to 7. Okay, I'll just read and maybe just follow along with your eyes. Okay, Psalms chapter 78, verse 1 to 8. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generations to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works and that he hath done. For he hath established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generations to come might know them, even the children which should be born. We shall arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. Okay, let's pray. Dear Lord, our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Lord, for everyone not being in the house of the Lord. We thank you, Father, for this, Lord, this Sunday that we can worship you. And Lord, even as we sit down for the preaching, just pray, dear Lord, that you will equip me and help me, Lord, to bring forth thy word, Lord. Even as we recognize, Lord, the important roles of fathers, help us, Lord, even to look into thy word and see clearly, Lord, what your word says about the responsibility of fathers. Help us, Lord, to keep this in our hearts and, Lord, and also to practice them. And be with us, Lord. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Okay, so as I start, I would just like to share a little bit on the context of Psalm 78. All right, so Psalm 78 is actually a historical and instructional psalm written by Asaph, one of the chief musicians appointed by David. If you see in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 4 to 7, you will see the mention of him. All right, so it's one of the chief musicians. And it is called a Maschil Psalm. All right, so Psalm 78, you'll see on top, okay, it's a Maschil Psalm, meaning that it is a psalm of instruction or teaching. It is found in the titles of 13 psalms in the Bible, and its purpose is not merely to recount history, but also to teach God's people lessons from the past. All right. So if you read the whole chapter of Psalm 78, you will see actually a central theme, okay, that God is faithful, but sadly, man is often forgetful and disobedient. All right. So the psalm actually reveals Israel's history. And if you go through, you'll see, it's just incredible. Many times when psalmists or the Bible tells about how God has been good in the life, and all that Egypt has gone, Israel has gone through, you will see how God's hand of protection has also been there. So the psalm reveals Israel's history, right? God's miracles in Egypt, the crossing of the Red Sea, God's provision in the wilderness, Israel's rebellion, as well as unbelief, and then ultimately God's judgment, as well as God's continued mercy. So the main focus of Psalm 78, I guess, can be found in the verses 4 to 7, and these will be the main verses that we'll cover for today's sermon. So if to start off, if I were to summarize, just to bring forth to you really, what is it that we absolutely have to know, okay, is that God's truth must be deliberately passed on from one generation to the next. All right, so as fathers, I would like to encourage you today, if there's anything you take back, this is something that I think we should keep in our hearts. All right, God's truth must deliberately be passed from one generation to the next. So even as Asaph is putting forth an important message to Israel about passing on the truth from generation to generation, this will be a message that we as fathers and parents, so in this case, I actually speaking to wives too, right, we can take and ponder and use for ourselves with our children. All right? So as part of today's introduction, I would like to start by asking maybe all fathers just a question to ponder about, just to think about. If today we were to ask those who know you, so individually, right, if you ask someone who knows you, whether you were successful as a father to your children, what do you think they will say? Something to think about. Okay. All right? What do you think they will say? And how will they measure you by? Actually, perhaps part of the answer is in the special that Brother Yubin sang, right, by Ron Hamilton. And the song is about a father who actually wants to be known as being successful, not in his wealth and career, but in his relationship and upbringing of his children. So today, brethren, we live in a generation where men and fathers are often measured by what they provide materially. So what you provide, you know, as material things. Sometimes a father is a good father is often described as a man who is a good provider, maybe, right? Maybe a successful worker, all right? Someone who is successful in his career, someone who is a protector of his family, or someone who gives his children opportunities, right? If you think a bit deeper, society also measures men or fathers by financial success or career achievement or sometimes social status. So these things may have some value, all right? I mean, you think about, they do have some value depending on who you talk to. But God's word teaches us that the greatest responsibility is not merely preparing his children for this life. It is actually preparing them for eternity. A father may provide his children with a good education, a comfortable home, and financial security. And that is a good and important thing. If you look at 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his house, he have denied the faith and is worse than infidel. But if he fails to teach them about faith in God, fathers, he has missed his highest calling, or we have missed our highest calling. All right? So fatherhood is one of the greatest responsibilities that God entrusts to men. As I mentioned earlier, society may measure fathers by different yardsticks, right? Different like financial success, career achievements, societal status. But God measures fathers differently. God will measure fathers by his faithfulness, our faithfulness to him, leadership in the home, as well as spiritual influence on their children. So the greatest gift, brethren, that I would like to put forth is that the greatest gift that a father can give to his family is not wealth, but actually a godly example, right? If you look at the generations that we have, our children, there's actually a danger of a lost generation, all right, within the church. Every generation, okay, referring to us, okay, we face a spiritual responsibility. And the question we need to ask ourselves is not only, do I know God? But also, will the next generation know God because of my faithfulness? In the example of Israel, they have seen through God's deliverance, they have seen God's miracles, they have seen God's power. But yet, Scripture repeatedly warns that the future generations can forget God when His truth is not deliberately passed down. Okay? If you look at Judges chapter 2, verse 10, and there arose another generation after them which knew not God, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. If you read the verse, it's actually quite a scary thing. I mean, and this is something that is not just in the Bible referring to the children of Israel. It also applies to us. So even the NBC, I think sometimes we think about it, it's something that is very sobering. You know, whether or not our generation or children, the generations after us, what will happen to them? how will God use them? How will they be faithful to God? Will they still be a light for God? Will they still be in NBC? I mean, these are questions you want to ask yourself, right? So, brethren, a godly heritage does not happen by accident. It has to be deliberate. It has to be intentional. Something for us to think about, all right? So, as I begin, maybe Psalm 78, all right? This is actually a command to teach the next generation. Psalm 78, verse 1 to 3. And it begins, Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. So in this particular psalm, Asaph is actually saying, hey, listen carefully. Listen carefully. I think this is something for fathers to take note. Listen carefully. I'm going to teach you what our fathers have taught us. And if you see here in the verses, there's actually a chain of transmission. God telling Israel, Israel telling the fathers, fathers telling the children, and the children going on to the future generations, right? The truth of God was not meant to stop with one generation. Okay, so fathers, Israel was given a command to teach the next generation. And I think in this particular context, we can very well include ourselves as well. You know, something for us to take note, right? So God gives his word to us as believers and as fathers we have a duty to teach our children and pass it on to the next generation. All right? So again, the truth of God was not meant to stop with one generation. Okay, so the responsibility to proclaim God's word. If you look at Psalms 78, verse 4, and I'll just go down. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generations to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works which he have done. This is actually a statement of responsibility. And two things that I wish to emphasize on verse 4. Firstly, God's work. God's works must be remembered. So in this case, Asaph refers to God's mighty acts. What are the mighty acts? Actually, I think you ask most Sunday school children, they will know. Right? In Egypt, to save them, God has done wonderful things, mighty things. Okay? Asaph refers to his deliverance. Okay? Such as the parting of the Red Sea, the journey through the wilderness. Asaph also refers to his faithfulness, how God sustained them with all they needed, food and water. And Asaph also refers to his judgment and mercy. And all this is very clear, and they have a duty to tell their children. And what we can apply for ourselves here is that God has given the responsibility to parents, especially fathers, to teach that spiritual truth in the home. All right? The church has a ministry of teaching, but Scripture places the primary responsibility of spiritual instructions on parents. If you look at Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6 to 7, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children." All right, I mean, we are familiar with these verses. These are verses that comes, you know, we have been taught before. I think the challenge is in application and how faithful we can stay to it, right? And the idea here is that the children will not naturally learn about God. The idea is that the parents must intentionally teach them. Just because children come to church, they join us in our Sunday school, doesn't naturally mean that, you know, that it's a natural thing. They will just learn. I mean, we try, but it's very intentional. We do want to teach them. We teach them, right? It is an intentional step, and it's an intentional step that actually parents must take, their fathers must take, to do that teaching. And family that remembers God's works develops an understanding of God, gratitude, and faith. So in application, maybe I'd like to encourage fathers to also teach children. What are things that we can teach them? Teach them about how God saved us. You know, share your testimony. How God has been in your life. Teach them about how God answers prayers. I mean, there must be many, many things that we have prayed to God in, and how many countless times He has answered our prayers. Yeah, remember that and teach the children how God answers prayers and how God has guided our families, right? Through many times, through challenges. It's something that we need to teach. So, secondly, in addition to God's works must be remembered, silence is not an option. Okay, in verse 4, it states, "We will not hide them." All right? The world is constantly teaching children many things. Actually, it's quite scary. If you were to leave your children alone and worry that it's not teaching them, no, the world is very ready to teach them and tell them and show them a lot of things, you know, whether it's online or from friends around them. I mean, it's just a very, very natural thing. Right? The world is constantly teaching children human wisdom, self-centered beliefs or values or false beliefs. Right, the world is ready to come in with all different types of things, and fathers must be ready, must be careful to know what the things that children are exposed to.
So be careful. If God's truth is not caught, something else will fill the place. Alright? Romans chapter 10, verse 11 says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God." So what do you show you? The children to hear God's word. Alright, the children to hear God's word. So continuing in verse 4, showing to the generation to come. The word showing means declaring
or making known or proclaiming. And biblical faith is not inherited. Right? A child does not automatically know God because his parents know God. Each generation must hear God's truth and they must decide for themselves that they want to have a personal relationship with God. Okay? And if you look further along verse 4, notice what was Israel commanded to teach. A few things. All right? Firstly, the praises of the Lord. So fathers are not just to teach information about God. It's not something you just learn as head knowledge. But they are also to teach the children why God deserves worship. Okay, so children need to know that God created them, that God loves them, that God is holy, and God deserves their obedience. If you compare with what the world teaches children, believe in yourself. But the Bible teaches, trust in God. All right? Trust in God. So Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 to 6 tells us, trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. So a father should constantly point his children towards God. All right? Okay, so Israel was commanded to teach the praises of the Lord. They were also commanded to teach the strength of the Lord. And Israel was not just telling stories about their own ability. Actually, if you think about it, Israel's success and times that they win the war is not by their own might. It's all by God's grace, right? So they were declaring God's almighty power. The examples are listed again in Psalm 78, deliverance from Israel, protection in the wilderness, provision of food and water. And children need to see that. I mean, these are mighty stories that we see in the Bible, but these are real, and these are things that they must know that God can do and will do. So children need to see that God answers prayer, God provides, God protects, and that God guides. So in application, fathers should share testimonies of God's faithfulness, help the children to see God's hand in their lives. So for example, maybe when our families face difficulty, we prayed and God helped us, right? I mean, even in the life of MBC, there have been many times there are many stories of difficulties that we have gone through, and how we have prayed and God has delivered us. And I'm sure that same applies to our individual families as well. So children need to learn that God is not just a Bible character. He is the living God. Okay? And so coming down, Israel are also they were also commanded to teach not just the praise of God, the strength of the Lord, but also the wonderful works of the Lord. So the Bible is full of examples. Creation, the flood, Abraham's faith, Joseph's preservation, Moses' deliverance, Christ's sacrifice on the cross. So many examples. And a father should make God's works real to his children. So we teach this in the Children's Sunday School, and I think it's something that we want to do and continue. But really, it's with the parents. It's at home, with the families, with your parents, with the fathers. That's where the primary responsibility lies. So in the application, talk about, how can we do this, right? Firstly, talk about God naturally. Do not make spiritual matters only a Sunday topic. It cannot be something that we only talk about on Sunday, right? This one is something in our daily lives. So use everyday moments, whether it's during meal times, during difficulties, during decisions. Ask questions about, like, what does the Bible say about this? Make God's word part of our daily lives. So learning an application about God's truth cannot be just when you're in church or in Sunday. It has to be a daily thing, right? In the lives of children, in the lives of our families. All right? Okay. So the responsibility to teach the next generation. Okay, so coming down to Psalms 78, verse 5. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children. So if you look at this verse, he established a testimony. The testimony refers to God's revealed truth. And this truth was not meant to be kept privately. It's not something to be, oh, it's a secret thing. No, it's meant to be told. It's meant to be passed on. So God gave Israel his word, his commandment, his covenant. And this truth did not come from human wisdom. It came from God, right? So for us, I mean, we have the Bible. The Bible is God's truth, and this is what we need to teach. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. So fathers, recognize that scripture is important and needs to be the foundation of the home. So the Bible for us has to be real. It's not merely a church book. It's not just a Sunday book. It's not just a reference book. It's not just a history book. It's much more than that. It is God's instruction for daily living. And if we do not apply it in our daily lives, then sadly it will be ineffective. Right? And we are not passing it on to our children. Okay, so this teaching goes not just in the general truths of the Bible. And this is something that I thought, I just want to point out as well. But fathers, we also have this role to teach them doctrines and also go deeper in the study of the Bible so that they can defend the faith. This is something important. Okay, when attacks come, and trust me, they will come. They will be challenged. We will be challenged. People will come along and ask us, why do you believe in this? Why do you hold on to the King James Bible? You know, I mean, if someone comes along, why do you hold on to the King James Bible? Why do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Why do you believe that you have to be saved? You know, when our doctrine is being challenged, when are things from the Bible that are being challenged, are we able to defend it as fathers? And subsequently, are we able to teach our children to defend it themselves? Well, our children know things like, what's the difference in Bible versions and why is it important? Why do we stand on certain teachings? Why do Pastor Mark does the training classes? You know, it's to equip us. So take that, use that. I mean, fathers must have that sense to know that it goes beyond just, okay, learning generally about the Bible, but there is doctrine, is teaching about really what are the doctrines in the Bible, what are the important teachings that we need to know, and let the children know them for themselves as well. Not just something that the fathers hold on to, but don't say, you know. The children themselves must actually know very key important things. All right. So verse 5 continues. Okay, which he commanded our father. So within the verse, right, in verse 5. So it shows that teaching children was not just a good idea. It was not a suggestion. It was for command for fathers to teach. And again, the spiritual leadership of the home is a responsibility which the fathers have to take up. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Okay? Fathers are commanded to actively raise their children in God's instructions. Fathers have an active teaching role. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6 and 7. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And it's interesting, right? When you look at this Deuteronomy chapter 6, there's actually an order. Because first it says, shall be in thy heart. Then after that, teach them. And this is a strong reminder to myself as well, that a father cannot effectively teach God's truth if he does not first live under God's truth. Right? You need to actually, fathers need to have this, I mean, you need to take this upon yourself and know that this is what you abide by before you can teach them. Right? Children are watching and they will learn. I mean, we all know, right? Children learn more by watching than by what you tell them. So whether we like it or not, they will see and observe. They will see, okay, whether daddy prays. They will see whether daddy reads the scripture. They will see whether daddy loves the church. They will see whether daddy obeys God. Right? I mean, this is something for myself as well. Because many times children ask me, daddy, why you never do this? Or why you never do that? Is it time to read the Bible? Sometimes they will come and remind me, yes. I mean, we set up times that we do devotions with them and all that. Sometimes you are a bit slow, they will remind us as well. And children are good at that, right? Yeah. So, but fathers, I mean, it is a responsibility. It's something that you know that you have to first have it in thy heart and then teach them. All right. So this is how God's word encourages us. Okay. And teaching should happen at home. Okay. During conversations through everyday examples. Again, it cannot just be on Sunday or just in church. All right. It's something that we do daily. And maybe if I can just suggest at this point in time some practical steps for fathers, which I hope that we are already doing. All right. Number one, establish family devotions. Have morning and night devotions, sessions where the Bible is real. And then we do it consistently. It does not have to be complicated. It can be a very simple pattern. Read. Okay, just read. Read the passage of scripture. Let's start off by reading, explaining it. Explain one truth from God's word. All right, just explain that simple verse. And then pray. Praying together as a family. So reading, explaining, and praying, that is important, and doing it consistently. Right? So consistency matters more than length. So firstly, right, establish family devotions. Number two, teach scripture memorization. So children need God's word stored in their hearts. Psalms chapter 119 verse 11 reads, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Also a song that we will sing, right? Yeah. So memorized scripture becomes a guide when children face temptation. And it's something that we, of course, know for ourselves, right? It's something that we do. And we need to teach the children that, okay? So teach scripture memorization. And maybe thirdly, answer spiritual questions. Children will ask questions. Sometimes they ask a lot of questions. I keep asking questions. But it's good. Do not dismiss them. So when the child asks, why do we believe this? Papa, why do we believe this? Or mama, why do we believe this? Don't push them away, but take the opportunity to teach. All right. So when children are eager to learn and they have questions, spiritual questions especially, take the opportunity to teach. Okay? So coming down in verse 6, the responsibility to lead their children to personally know God. Okay? Psalms chapter 78, verse 6. That the generation to come might know them, even the children which shall be born, which shall rise and declare them to their God, to their children. So the goal is not simply that children know about God. The goal is that they know God for themselves. It's not just to know about God, but they know God for themselves. So there is a difference. A child may know Bible stories or church traditions or Christian vocabulary, right? But salvation requires personal faith. In John chapter 3, verse 3, except a man may be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Okay? every child must personally come to Christ. A father cannot believe for his child, whether, I mean, as much as we like to, but a father cannot believe for his child. A mother cannot believe for his child. A church cannot believe for the child. Every person must personally trust in Christ. And the verse here in Psalms chapter 78, verse 6, then shows a generational responsibility. Parents teaching the children, and then the children teaching their children. So you must see that going down, right? So a faithful father is someone who thinks beyond himself, right? So it won't just be myself. You really have to think about your children, even your children's children, and that's important. So maybe in application, some practical steps for fathers. One, teach the gospel clearly. Children need to understand. Teach it clearly. I think of all the things, that must be the first thing that they must know. About God has come to save them, how there's a way to salvation. All right? Tell them about God's holiness. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Tell them about Christ's sacrifice. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God commanded his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. Teach them about faith in Christ. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Teach them about sin's consequences. All right, Romans 6, 23. For the wages of sin is death. So these are things that we know right for ourselves. But these are important things that we must teach. And you must take the effort to teach your children, right? So other than teaching the gospel clearly, can I suggest pray for your children's salvation as well. Make it a regular prayer item. I mean, we pray for our children, we pray for their salvation, we pray for many other things. I mean, not just about the exams. Now, this is the season that I pray a lot for the exams because Adrian is doing his PSLE, so we always pray. Okay, pray for our PSLE. But actually, it's not just about PSLE, it's about praying that he is diligent, that he actually takes effort to work hard, that he takes effort to think about what we have taught him, you know, what he has learned, right, and applying it, right. But pray for your children's salvation. No, pray for it. Pray for a good mate for them. You know, pray for a future spouse for them. So a faithful father should regularly pray. Pray. I mean, like, Lord, open my child's heart. Help them know you personally. All right. So pray. Always pray for our children. And thirdly, do not assume that church attendance equals salvation. Just because a child can sit in church every week in, week out, they will still need Christ. Right? The sitting here is not what saves you. Right? It's that personal relationship they have with Christ. And fathers must lovingly guide their children towards that personal relationship. Right? They must know Christ for themselves. And okay, coming down to again, Psalm 78, verse 7, the responsibility to teach children to obey God. Okay, so in verse 7, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. The goal here is not merely knowledge. Okay, this verse gives the goal, which is faith in God, remembrance, and obedience to God. True faith will produce obedience. Okay, obedience, I mean, it's important. I mean, but we must be clear, obedience is not the way to earn salvation. It's not just by just doing it, right? Okay? But it is the evidence of a heart that respects God, that loves God. John chapter 14, verse 15. If ye love me, keep my commandments. That's what Christ says. So the goal is not just to have morally upright children, not just a child that behaves well. Of course, I mean, we want children that behave well, but that's not the ultimate goal, right? The ultimate goal is a children whose trust is in God, who are saved and have a faith in God, right? So that's why even in Kids Quest, you realize that actually we've been doing this series on a biblical character. But actually our goal is not simply to teach them about godly character traits. It's good, but actually, ultimately it is to have faith and trust in God, you know? Yeah. So a child can be respectful, a child can be successful, a child can be well-behaved, but still not know God. So the ultimate goal is faith. And fathers, I hope that is this something that we bear in mind and something that we know is important. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And in this case, training also requires instruction, correction, repetition, and example. So some other steps for fathers that I think we can also just run through. Practical steps for us to take. Number one, maybe establish clear biblical standards. Okay, children need to know boundaries. They need to know what is right, what is wrong, and why God says so. What's the reason? And then they must know. So teach them what is right, what is wrong. disciplined with love. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So discipline with love. Discipline is important. The Bible does tell us, okay, we hold not the rod. But biblical discipline is not about anger. It is about correction with the goal of producing righteousness. Right? So something to think about, fathers. I mean, this is many times, of course, our children will grieve us. And we tell our children, that, oh, you'll grieve us a lot. But it's important for them to know that we still love them, even amidst the discipline that we meet out. All right. So establish clear biblical standards. They must know what the standard is. Discipline with love. Number three, be consistent. Children are confused when rules change constantly. Okay, when parents do not follow their own standards. That is very confusing. So I also realize that many times when we tell the children, firstly, we must model it, all right? And we must be consistent. If we have said something, we stick to it and we keep to it. Okay, we must be consistent. And the father should model that consistency in the home, all right? So establish clear biblical standards, discipline with love, be consistent, and model obedience. At this point, children will notice when their fathers, they will notice what their fathers prioritize. I mean, it's very clear to them, much more than what you can say. You can say 1,000 words, but they will see what you prioritize, right? Children will notice. They will notice whether the scripture, whether worship is important, whether Bible reading is important, whether the scripture is lived out in our lives. They will see, all right, and they will learn from that much more than what we can ever tell them. So the father cannot effectively teach about putting God first while showing that everything else comes first. Right, and that is something for me to remember as well. But remember, children watch before they listen. Okay, so maybe in conclusion, fathers must leave a spiritual legacy. Psalm 78 also speaks about generations. One generation teaches the next. The question is, what will your children inherit from you? Will they only inherit possessions? Will they only inherit achievements? Will they only inherit memories? Or will they also inherit a love for the scripture, a love for the church, a love for the people, a faith in Christ? So children need to discover and build their own relationship with God. But parents, especially fathers, need to teach and show them through their own faith. They need to see it in you. So as I come down, I just want to pour as well the warning. Because, I mean, these are commandments. These are things that Esau has taught what Israel must do. But there's also a warning. What is the failure? What happens if there's a failure to teach that truth and it has consequences? So Psalm 78 later will describe Israel's failure. So if you read the whole chapter down, okay, beyond verse 7, you will see that Israel, they forgot about God, even the marvelous things that he did for them in Egypt. That's around verse 11. And you will see later on in verse 17 to 19 and 22, they doubted him in his ability to provide for them in the wilderness. And in verse 32, you will see that Israel rebelled. And these are things that happened. The problem here was not God's faithfulness. The problem here was man's forgetfulness, right, in verse 42. So I think the warning here in this particular chapter is the great danger of forgetfulness. Israel repeatedly forgot about God's miracles, they forgot about God's goodness, and they forgot about God's commands. Forgetting about God will lead them to actually wandering from God. So a generation that does not hear the truth will not continue in truth, and we can ask ourselves rhetorically, how will the next generation of MBC be? Will they still have a generation that knows and loves God? Will we have taught them enough that they will go on to teach their children? Actually, when I look around our church, it's encouraging to see that we actually have three generations in our church, right? Three generations in our church. Members who are here long enough that their grandchildren are also in MBC. I mean, that's a good thing, right? Something to thank God for. And that needs to continue. The teaching and legacy of faith, if you may, right? And if you do think generationally, I mean, you think about this place that we bought, right? When we bought this place in Mega Woodlands, we were also thinking about building and leaving something for our children. Even though the remaining lease is not that long. But okay, I mean, it's a start, right? It's something that we can build upon, right? But that's the idea. Not just a physical place, but also a faith in God. So, I mean, we have the place, but beyond that, we also need to build that faith in God. We need to actually pass it on to the children, right? Yeah. So maybe I just, in covering the warning of what happens when fathers fail to pass on the truth, I would like to touch on maybe some quick examples in the Bible as well. And this example, I think that we are familiar with. In 1 Samuel, chapter 2 to chapter 4, example of Eli, right? So Eli had sons who did not follow God. Sadly, Eli was an example of a father and a spiritual leader who failed to exercise godly leadership in his home. Okay, but it's important to note, as we just go through here, right, that the Bible does not say that Eli caused every sinful choice that his sons made. His sons were personally responsible for their sins, just like our children will be. However, the scripture does show that Eli failed in his duty to restrain, to correct, and to lead them properly. And I hope that is not something that we can say of ourselves. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 13, For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vow, and he restrained them not. So the Bible does call out Eli and also what he did not do. He did not restrain them. He allowed them to actually go on to commit sin, right? And that's a very sad thing. So if you look at what happened to Eli, number one, Eli failed to restrain his son's wickedness. Okay, so as I mentioned, 1 Samuel 3 verse 13 is very clear that Eli knew what was happening but did not take firm action. His sons were not merely making mistakes. It's not just, oh, innocently I made a mistake, but they were actually openly corrupt, right? So a lesson for fathers here is that a father must not ignore spiritual responsibility. There is that responsibility there. Okay, number two, Eli's sons had no fear of God. In 1 Samuel chapter 2 verse 12, now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. This is actually a very serious statement, if you look at it, right? They were priests serving in God's house, but they did not truly know God. Very sad. I mean, you look at his sons, they had religious positions, they had knowledge of the law, they had access to worship, but they did not have any genuine relationship with the Lord, right? So very, very sad. I mean, this is happening in the family, right? So lessons for fathers here. Being around spiritual things does not automatically produce spiritual children, right? So being around spiritual things does not automatically produce spiritual children. This has to be taught. This has to be a personal desire for that they want to know God for themselves. Okay, number three, Eli allowed them to corrupt worship. The priest had specific instructions about sacrifices, but Eli's sons abused their position. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 13 to 14, okay, the priest servants came and with a flesh hook of three teeth in his hand. Basically, they saw the meat, oh, very nice, they took for themselves, right? They took portions of the sacrifice for themselves before God's appointed time, right? And they were thinking about themselves first. You know, it's not about, oh, I worship for God. I mean, this is all, they just go through the motion. But actually, they were taking things for themselves. They treated God's worship as a way to satisfy their own desires. And maybe the lessons for fathers here is that Eli allowed his sons to to develop a heart of entitlement. We cannot do that. Right, for children, we cannot do that. Okay, number four, Eli confronted them, but too weakly. And I think it's something that we see, and it does show the pattern over here. So Eli did speak to his sons in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 23 and 24. And he said unto them, why do ye such things? For I hear of your evil dealings by all these people. Nay, my sons, for it is no good report they are here. So Eli did recognize the problem, but his response was only verbal. Now what's he saying to his sons? Basically he's saying, hey, why are you doing this? People are complaining, right? And he did not remove them from their position. And it would seem like actually the main concern that Eli had was that, hey, this report is not good. I think you're tarnishing my reputation, right? Yeah, so what will people think of me? I mean, there's that. He did not do enough, you know. So his response to them is that, yeah, although Eli confronted them, but it was too weak, right? So the lesson for fathers here is the fathers must understand the difference between warning versus correction. Sometimes love will require action. So we need to be harsh. I'm not harsh. When we need to be firm. We need to be firm. We need to take some action. We need to, right? So Eli also honored his sons above God, and in this case, God's rebuke was very direct. You look at 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 29. Wherefore, kick ye at my sacrifice and at my offering, and honorest thy sons above me. And I think this is probably Eli's greatest failure. He chose his sons, he loved his sons, but he did not love God enough to correct them. And he chose and these are very, probably things that you will see. Family comfort over obedience. Avoiding conflict over righteousness. His son's approval over God's approval. Right? Eli did not put God first, he put his sons first. Right? So this is something that I think for us fathers we must know. A father's love must be governed by God's truth. Real love does not ignore sin. So when there's a problem, there's an issue, we need to deal with it. We need to deal with it firmly, we need to deal with it. We cannot let it continue, and we must know that it is important. So, I mean, these are some examples that we just to see, hey, there's actually a serious thing. If you take this step of not doing what we need with our children, these are things that can turn out. But there are also positive examples, like Joshua. Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Would that be the what you hold on to for your family? Same as Joshua. Joshua made a decision that my home belongs to God. And I think he put that first before he ordered everything else. And I think as fathers, this is something for us that we really need to bear in mind. So in conclusion, in Psalm 78, I've covered the following responsibilities of fathers. Number one, the responsibility to proclaim God's works. Number two, the responsibility to teach the next generation. Number three, the responsibility to lead their children to personally know God. And number four, the responsibility to train children to obey God. So coming down, do you see that this is actually our greatest mission? Right, for fathers, for men, being in the army, what's the mission? What's our greatest mission? Just like the special that was sung, right? The father's greatest mission. So to be a God-loving father, God-believing father, the greatest success of a father is not whether or not did my children become wealthy. It's not about whether did my children become successful. That should not be our greatest legacy. A father's greatest legacy is that it should be my children know God. Right? If the fathers have do what they can, of course it's a personal choice that they must take. But if we have left, that we have done the teaching, we have done it consistently, we have taught them, then that is the legacy we will leave for our children. So Psalms 78 gives fathers a mission, okay, which is our greatest calling. Show them God's work, teach them about God's word, lead them to personally trust God, train them to obey God, leave a legacy of faith, let the next generation have a stronger faith because of our example. Then the next generation will receive something from us. So the question here is that, will we pass them the truth? I mean, we know these things. Actually, we do know these things. But the question is, will we pass them the truth? Will we do it? Psalm 78, verse 7, that they might set their hope in God. So a faithful generation remembers God's works, teaches God's word, and prepares the next generation to trust and to obey God. And I started this sermon with a question on how successful people will see us as a father. In conclusion, maybe let me leave fathers with another question. And this is the main question that actually Psalm 78 leaves us with. How will others see fathers as being successful or not? The question we should ask ourselves is, will God see us as successful fathers who helped our children and grandchildren know the Lord because we faithfully showed them the truth? I think that's the question that fathers need to have ourselves. So let's pray, and pray that God would strengthen fathers in their calling and grant wisdom for leadership and help fathers to also model Christ-like character and to raise up the next generation to know and to serve God faithfully. All right? So fathers, I mean, this is encouragement for us. I think it's God's word is clear on this. It's a great responsibility. It is a great responsibility. It is something done in partnership, of course, with the wives, right? It's not something that we just do on ourselves. It is a great partnership, but fathers need to set their leadership. So even when Brad Young said, the most important role in the home, okay, is the mothers. Of course, I think he also says it in jest. But I will challenge you to say that fathers, you have an even greater role. Because you must first set the leadership, you must first set the direction, you must be very clear on what your role is, or what our role is, and we need to be faithful in doing that. And work as a partner with our spouses. All right, so I hope that this is an encouragement for us, something for us to think about. Come, let's pray.